Life is hectic, demanding, and doesn't stop. When honest with ourselves, we must confess we often don't know what the hell we're doing. The LarkCast is an ongoing conversation about the inclusive and mischievous nature of God's presence through the lens of all the things that make up this phenomenon we refer to as life. Astonishing grace and refreshing honesty collide right here for your weekly encouragement.
If you are tuning in on YouTube, you can see that I'm ready for the eclipse, dude. I got my glasses on.
Looks good.
I can't see anything right now, but later on when I'm staring at the sun, I'll be able to and not go blind. So yes. I figured I'd just be ready because I don't know when it's going to be. So I just put these things on, you know. When I woke up this morning, driving here to my office was pretty rough, but I'm ready to go, man.
Yeah,
I'm ready to go.
It looks good too, man. They look good.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that.
I can kind of see a little bit like the color, like fading into the cap you got on up there in that top right eye. So yeah, it's good stuff, man.
Yep. If you haven't been paying attention, I am on here with the birthday boy himself. Russ Johnson had a birthday yesterday, along with my mother-in-law. Russ and Debbie had birthdays yesterday.
Me and Debs, what's up? Happy birthday to you.
Dude, Debbie listens to the LarkCast too. So shout out to Debbie and you, Russ. Happy birthday to the both of you.
Thank you. Thank you, man. 32 is feeling good, bro.
Yeah, she turned 32 as well. I don't know how she has a 41-year-old daughter, but she turned 32.
Yeah, I said that to a guy yesterday, and he goes, isn't your oldest son 25? He's like scratching his head. I'm like, bro, you look like you're struggling, man. You might need to get a cup of coffee or something.
Dude, there is not a person on this earth that would believe you're only 32.
I don't know, man. I feel like if somebody out there was walking around with those glasses on, I could probably pull it off.
No, just by the sheer sound of your voice, they would know you're not 32.
Yeah, that's true.
I probably should take these things off. I can't see anything.
A little bit of a giveaway. But, all right, man, it's good to laugh. It's good to be back. It's good to be on this podcast. It's good to make another trip, man, around the sun. Right? Especially the day before an eclipse. Come on now. And man, it's good to come into the end of this Galatians series.
We're finishing up Galatians today. Oh, Galatians.
Yes. We are at the end, folks. We are at the end.
I really enjoyed this, Glaciers.
Yeah.
It's been great.
It's a little cold at moments. A little rocky in places. And but man, it's been good just to kind of walk through this thing, especially, I mean, I don't know about you, like I've taught out of Galatians, right, for 20 some years, but I never took the time to just walk through the letter verse by verse. So it's been a pretty neat journey, man, just getting through this thing and having some definite like ahas along the way.
Yeah, definitely read it, saw it, saw some things, with fresh eyes now that I'm not a Gospel Coalition pastor. So
it does help. Does help good. Sometimes to leave where you are to see what you can't see.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Get out of the, the echo chamber of all those same commentaries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, man, I would agree.
It's good.
I would agree. And I'm just going to go ahead and say this, which I never thought in a million years I would, but my favorite text At least like running in my mind right now, and I'm going to go back and look back through, but running in my mind right now, my favorite text that we've been able to address in one sitting for me so far is right now, today.
Right now, this one.
Like the last, you know, 7, 8 verses of the end of the book. It's almost like Paul takes all the big chunks throughout the journey and just pulls them together in this very quick, swift, easy to remember, right? Like one of those things you could just tuck, you know, in the back of your mind and just keep there, man, in your journey of faith to just keep going back to. Almost like a few just quick little bullet points, man. Bam, here it is. All of
A
it together at
summation
once.
of sorts.
Summation.
I'm
Yes.
used to you usually like ranking biscuit sandwiches,
Yeah,
not Bible
it's true.
verses.
Yeah, my kids were staring at me cross-eyed while we were eating last night. My wife made me one of my favorite dishes, which is like Cajun red beans and rice. Homemade, all those seasonings, man, flavors. It's like my jam, bro. So every year for my birthday, I get to
Seasonings.
pick the seasonings. She made that for me.
That
Golly, was it good? But she also
is
made me.
seasonings, boy.
She made me some homemade cornbread. And the trick, man, you got to have the right pan. Well, she's got these old pans that she uses. You know, she'll heat up the lard like in the oven, you know, get that thing melted, move it all around the pan. And then she adds the secret batter mix that she makes. And so it seals like the bottom, you know what I mean? It crunches up them edges like right out of the gate, you know, with this cornbread. And anyhow, we had a whole conversation of ranking cornbread at the table. And I think my kids were like, "All right, Dad, we get it." Because I'm just like going on and on. And coming in at 13th place is.
You had a whole list of honorable mentions.
I had a list of like the 5 places to go to if you want cornbread in a restaurant in Florida, where to go in South Carolina, where to go in North Carolina.
I love it. I love it. Always and forever ranking stuff.
Can't help it, man. Probably says something about my childhood. I don't know. But yeah, dude, the summation of this thing, like just how it all comes together and just how extremely relevant it is to the day-to-day life, the day-to-day journey of faith. So, without further ado, folks, we are in chapter 6, verse 11. See with what large letters I am writing to you with my own hand, Paul says.
He had to just let everybody know he's not using Chat GPT, you know? He's like, I'm writing this myself.
Just for clarity's sake. Just so everybody understands, this is me. And as you can tell, I'm not just leaving an exclamation point at the end of the sentence. I'm just like writing the description of an exclamation point in the sentence itself. So pay attention here. It is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh who would force you to be circumcised, and only in order that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. For even those who are circumcised do not themselves keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised so that they may boast in your flesh. But far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. So we're clear, for neither circumcision counts for anything, nor circumcision. That's an extremely valid point that we're going to get to here in a moment, but a new creation. And as for all who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. Another very, very relevant point we'll get to. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you and your spirit. Amen. And that's the end, dude. That's the end of the book. And the exclamation point has been made.
Been made.
Yeah,
Yeah,
when
it's
I
the
was
second
reading about
time.
this,
Second
go
time he
ahead.
brings up the Well, it's you know, the second time he talks about, you know, this idea of like being crucified to, you know, the desires of the flesh, or, you know, I to the world to me. And then the second time he brings up the whole, you know, for neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything. So yeah, definitely bringing up, you know, some points again here at the end, and within those phrases is packed a lot of meaning.
Yeah, it's you know, when you look at, you know, he makes an exclamation point about all that he's been writing, and then just goes right into just declaring. It's almost like you could read this book backwards, kind of like what we mentioned in the last episode about reading the book of Romans backwards. You could read Galatians backwards, because here at the end, he's making known all that he started to unpack in chapter one about the Judaizers and their intent. He makes known their intent here. He's saying, just so we're clear, these guys have created a gospel. Right, you know, as Michelle talks about, it's like they have literally tried to merge the good news of Jesus, the gospel, with the law of God, which has a completely different purpose. And they have created this religion out of this, and they have pushed this upon you, okay? Not just as a means of their own self-justification, because they're control junkies, but just to be clear, underneath that lies the ultimate reason, which is self-preservation. That's why they've done this. They don't want to face the persecution that will come from the religious world and the secular world if they go forward declaring Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior, reconciler of all, finished, done. They're going to get crucified if they go forward with that. Humanity wants a handle that they can hold on to feel like they're doing their part. They're making it happen. They want systems that they can use to decide who's in and who's out, and you know, plans for reform so that the out can get in and those who are in can feel good about themselves because they created these plans, and the whole structure of government and church and all these things, it's all going to flow out of this. Why? Well, it's self-justification. Yeah, sure. But underneath that, it's actually self-preservation. In other words, humanity, a human condition, not saying that this is good or right, but what is just true about humans is, dude, we long for acceptance. And we long for comfort. And we will gravitate to where those are in our own selves, in our flesh.
Yeah, and Paul's saying here, like he said in other places, like I'm just gonna boast in nothing other than the cross. I'm just keeping it centered and focus and, you know, zoomed in on the cross. Because, you know, complex systems that offer pathways, you know, for people to, you know, self-actualize, become better, contribute to a better world. You know, this sort of, you know, flourishing, you know, so to speak. Man, everyone can get behind that, you know. On earth as it is in heaven, man, we're working towards, you know, just a better here, a better now, a better city, a better neighborhood. Like, yeah, man, that's awesome. But dude, you start talking about Christ crucified.
As the means. Yeah, a better neighborhood, a better world, a better home. These are good, beautiful things, right? Getting creative and collaborating together to enjoy good things and help others enjoy the good things. Dude, amen. Sign me up. But all the means that we've created by which to go about that seem to undo that every single time. Because what we're longing for actually comes about through death, not determination. It comes about from the letting go, not the getting it together. Hence why Paul's like, I boast in the cross alone. It's in the dying that we learn to live. not in the driving. And they're not grabbing on to this because, again, there's this loss of control, but it seems like even deeper than that is the discomfort that comes from feeling alone. They're straight up petrified of it.
And one of the things that I do appreciate here, and one of the appeals Paul makes early on, is right after he just like dismantles, you know, the entire worldview and theology of the Judaizers, and is really like, man, how in the hell did you guys buy into this lie? He goes back to their story together. Like, man, dude, remember when I was with you? You remember this time we had? And then he's kind of doing the same thing here. Like, look at this. Like, I'm writing this letter myself. Like, I love you guys. Like, me personally, not these guys who just want to travel around and like make converts out of you and then just like move on, you know, into these like hierarchical, you know, positions and be aloof and not jump in and be actually a part of your community, who actually want friendship with you. Dude, I was with you. I'm your friend. I love you. It's me personally here, right? Not this like club with all of its, you know, levels of entry for you to get into, and finally work your way up to the top so you can actually like be around an apostle. It's like, no, man, I was with you in my weakness. These guys just want to boast about you, and I'm just interested in like, remember when we were friends? Remember when we experienced this movement of the Spirit together? Remember when we were like finding joy in the good news? Remember when you were running well until these guys came and hindered you? So I like that. I like the personal, you know, is appealing again, I think, just to that friendship.
Yeah, because as he mentions there, you know, in those verses, these guys, they don't keep what it is that they're putting on you to do. They don't. No human does. And so they're not seeking to boast like in their report card as much as just being able to boast about you conforming to the norm here
They just
that
want to
they've
count you.
right that they've established. Yeah, they just want to count you. I know some other people like that. You know, I started reading through this, man, and it brought up like what happened to us a year ago. Just literally just we're just 2 weeks away from 1 year from getting canceled from the missionary church denomination, which now goes by the name Generate. And I mean, these are guys, man, that we worked alongside of. I worked alongside of even longer than you, man, for 15 years, right? People who are, you know, I mean, you're our brothers, man. Like, we're in this together. Let's work together. Let's help get good news out. We know Lark's doing things in a very different approach, but we're behind you. And till I say something from the scriptures that we can defend from the scriptures that doesn't fit their narrative, because in doing so, they will not be able to keep control over who they can count. Bottom line, if the word gets out about who Jesus really is and who we are in him and what the church could therefore be, they will lose control of who they can count. And bro, when that happens, right? That lack of conformity, it was so crazy to watch. Like, I get like why the one hyper-religious crowd is like up in arms about it, but to watch a few of the people, man, who we were close to not be able to go against the norm, like the Judaizers that Paul's describing, and instead willfully lock arms with those who are in the wrong for self-preservation, man. Dude, I was reading these verses and going, oh my God, this is like to a T. What happened to us? It happens to people everywhere, man.
Yeah, it happens in,
All
you
because
know.
of where they're choosing to boast, the cross, right? Versus some form of character or conduct or, you know, curriculum
Well,
or whatever we're trying to stand on
yeah,
instead of
no.
Jesus.
Well, a lot of people get roped into and go along with a lot of different things just based on, you know, fear of their tribe, losing their job. And I mean, hey, let's just say it, dude. People in the church world, man, like, they don't have a lot of skills, dude. There's not a lot of places you can go to get another job, you know? You need to,
Yeah, there's some
you need
harsh
to.
writings out there about church leaders basically being the tribe that couldn't make it like in the real world, so they became studs in the pool that they could. And I was like, oh, that's, but dude, yeah, I mean, you
It's
get around some of them, it's
real.
like, eh,
It's
it's
real. But
real.
I think that that was like really part of my, you know, journey, because I was counted among those who were counting, you
Yeah.
know, until I came to really realize what Paul's saying here. For even those who are circumcised do not themselves keep the law. I'd get up here, you know, get up there every week, you know, and lay on, you know, all these things, you know, that people need to do, this ideal life, these expectations, to live this full life, you know, fully devoted life to Jesus. And like all this stuff that we ought to be doing, these shoulds, you know, and just shouldn't on everyone. Shouldn't on the stage, dude. I would just should on that stage and should on people. And I realized, dude, I suck at this. And the only real reason I'm able to do any of this is because it's like part of my job. I'm able to just like have all this time during the week, you know. Like it's my job to be in the scriptures. Sheesh, man. Yeah, you just realize, like, dude, I suck at this. Why am I laying this on people? And I think that that's part of the that's one of the first steps to seeing the beauty of the cross, and to seeing the news of Jesus as good, is finding that death, you know, crucified, as Paul says here.
They're not doing it. I'm not doing it. That's, I mean, you see Paul's, very adamant about this in regards to the law. He's unveiled why they're doing this, why they're pushing this narrative forward. And then just makes it very plain, as you've already brought up about himself, I'm just choosing to boast in the cross because let's just face it, it's the only place in the world where my failures are recognized and redeemed. It's the only place in the world where your failures are recognized and redeemed. It's the only place in the world by which God has single-handedly reconciled all things in heaven and on earth, as Colossians 1 says. This is the left-handed power of God. A paradoxical power, right? As Luther says. It seems like weakness until you realize that it's in his death that he accomplishes every single thing needed. He puts on display the spoil, right? The just the absolute plunder of religion. This is what religion does. It crucifies God when he shows up. What is Jesus telling us? I'm not doing this so that God will love you. I'm going through this to show you that he always has. And here's what I'm accomplishing in and through it, man. It's a beautiful picture, dude, of just showing us how love accomplishes what, right? What evil cannot. And again, it's why Paul chooses to boast in it.
So no, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything.
Yeah, nothing. Think about that. It's two things. It's two things. And you almost kind of see like society is in an endless competition between the two. He's not saying that circumcision, okay, law keeping, religion, you know what I'm saying, the whole effort of religious duty. He's not saying this doesn't count, but uncircumcision does. which is somewhere I feel like where people often can go, like in response to the demise, the destruction of what religion does and where it leads and what it causes, we can find ourselves like ear, you know what I'm saying? We just go the total opposite direction. But Paul here says, neither count, neither count. Okay. So you're, well, God's love's unconditional. Therefore, everything's on the table. Everything's good. Anything that makes me happy, I should pursue it. Who are you to say otherwise? You can't judge me. You know what I'm saying? Like that whole mindset. I'm just going to run after whatever I want in the name of freedom because I'm free. Like, well, no, that whole perception of uncircumcision, that doesn't count for anything either. And the reason why is because there's no death. In other words, there's no Jesus. There's no God. There's no you recognizing the beauty of your dependence that you were created to live in either of these camps,
Yeah.
which means you failed to be human in both of them. Because to be human is to be dependent on the God who made us to dwell with him. That's what it means to be human. And to be that, to live in that dependence is to be free. But if you pick the circumcision route, or the uncircumcision route, neither of these are ever leading to life. Neither of them are of any value. They don't count because there's no God in either, which means there's no you.
Yeah, and there's a tendency, a temptation to adopt Jesus to the camp of circumcision nor uncircumcision. So you can
Yes, he
boast in
gets
your,
dragged to both.
you can boast in your, the faith, your faithfulness and your orthodoxy and, I stayed and I'm not leaving, or you could boast in your deconstruction and, you're red pilling, from religion. And you can adopt Jesus to either side of those things. But Paul here is showing Jesus as like a distinct third way, a different way altogether.
Yes, altogether. I think that's the point that he's driving home. And again, I think it's there's a reason why it lies on the heels of where he boasts in the cross. Lies on those heels of why he boasts in the cross. And of course, that right is flowing out of really unveiling just the failed nature of the people who've been putting this religion on you and why it counts for nothing. Peterson, in writing about this, and I love the connection he makes between just the boasting of the cross and what counts. He says, listen carefully, according to Jesus, unless a grain of wheat is buried in the ground, dead to the world, it is never any more than a grain of wheat. But if it is buried, it sprouts and reproduces itself many times over. These were Jesus's words in John 12. Peterson goes on and writes, if I no longer have to protect and safeguard my life, I am free to live by faith. If I no longer have to justify my life, I am free to live by faith. If I no longer have to dread death, fearful that all meaning terminates in my coffin, I am free to live by faith. Though terrifying, the taking of death into ourselves is also liberating. It frees us from servitude to the petty cares that threaten to engulf our daily life and thereby opens us up to the essential projects by which we see a God at work in the world. I had to read that one a couple times, man, and just find myself sort of sitting in it like, dang, there it is. That's the. It's almost like
Well, it doesn't count because you precisely want it to count or need it to count. And I think that he chooses that word count very, very purposely. It
yes.
doesn't count because you're counting.
You're counting.
And
It's in the phrase.
when God reconciles all things, that's a mathematical term. All counting's over. There's no more counting. We don't need to count anything.
You don't need to do it. Yeah, I that's sort of been my go-to line, man, whenever I'm in invited to hang out with a church leader that has moved to the place of seeing the demise within an orchestrated system and starting to grab on to the beauty of the nature and identity of the church in accordance to scripture, right? And oftentimes in those conversations, the book of Galatians, comes up, and then out of that conversation, there's a leaning in, but then when you start to hear things, right, sometimes they, there's a pulling back. I've been there. I was there about 10 years ago. And one of the go-to lines that I have found that's helpful is I invite them to take a look at their vision statement. I'm like, hey man, what's your vision statement?
Oh, dude.
That's a big one, as I know, right? In the church world, denominational
Can't even
world.
get started without a vision statement.
Right. And they'll sometimes they'll look and say, like, why are you asking that? And it all goes into what we're talking about right now in regards to counting. And of course, they'll unpack their vision statement. And I will say 99% of the time, there's no death in it. There's no death in it. And there you see, right? The undoing of all that Paul's been unpacking here, even in the name of following it. It doesn't work. There is crucifixion to be faced in the life of Jesus. There is freedom to be lived in the life of Jesus. There is a God to be enjoyed, friendships to be enjoyed in this life of getting
Good
lost
works
in the
to be
person
enjoyed.
and work, yeah, of Jesus. But it comes through letting go. It comes through the dying, right? The admitting our death, the no longer having an us to prove or prop up or project or perfect, or you know what I mean? We can keep going with the P's here, right? To just be done with it, man.
It's if you need it to count, everything's going to be very, very fragile.
Yeah.
But it's like when Bono was struggling with his art, you went to that old Irish poet. I mean, like talking to him about creatively, like, dude, I gotta stay relevant, man. Like, I'm having struggling writing these songs. I don't think the masses are gonna grab onto this thing. I don't think I'm gonna hit the Billboard top 10 charts again. What do I do? Well, what would you write? What would you say if you were dead?
Right? It's the best. What would you
How
say
would
if
you
you were
do it
dead?
if you were dead? And again, what we mean by that is what would it look like if you didn't ha need it to count?
And then take it deeper. Like take it even one step below that, which again is what Paul is getting at in verses 11 and 12. If it didn't need to count, because, step down, you were no longer petrified of being left out. Because you realize that you've never been alone. And if it's just you and Jesus in this world, if it's just you and Jesus versus the world, you're in the majority. These guys have been doing this. Not just for some form of self-justification, but ultimately for self-preservation. It's their belonging to the in crowd that is actually their savior. Likes are their Lord. That's what they're petrified of losing. But if you were dead to that, you were dead to that whole project, what would you say? What could you say? What would you do? How would you spend your time? Who could you go and embrace and love on? What part of you could you bear and share with someone who was struggling? so that they could find a solidarity with you in the hearing of good news. If there was no longer a you that needed to belong because you found the freedom that you already do, what would you do?
Mm-hmm.
What would you say? It's trying, but it's simple. It's beautiful.
And all these things are external pressures.
Yeah.
Leaders, tribes, organizations,
yep.
Expectations, you know.
They're everywhere.
Axioms, you know, from, you know, that exist in, you know, various cultures, you know, whatever.
Yep.
And so he says neither circumcision or uncircumcision counts for anything, but something internal.
Yeah.
Something genuine from the heart. Something real. Hiddenness in Christ. Crucified to the world. Crucified to the project of self. And something beautiful that God himself, who now dwells in us and among us, is doing as a new creation. Something that wells up from the heart, not pressure from the outside. The law represents pressure from the outside, conformity to tablets of stone, to letters of the law.
Yep. It's good, man. It's good. And then you just, you know, you get down here to like verse 17, and that's Paul sort of, this is my favorite line, dude, in the chapter, is from now on, let no one cause me trouble. For I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. From now on, it's like, it, you know, when you dig into the text, he's basically saying, I have written everything I can write about this. I have come up with every form of language that I could give to you to help you see something you're not seeing, to help you grab on to reality from the delusion that you're holding to in the name of faith. I'm done. I don't want to be bothered with this anymore. If you need to go back and read this, please do. Keep reading it if need be. But I won't be bothered with this anymore. For I bear on me the marks, right, of Jesus. It's a Greek term, stigmata. It's a slave mark, basically. So when you belong to someone, you would have a mark on your body, like a big certain, like a hole through your ear. You know what I mean? Certain things to mark that who you belong to. And so Paul's not, it doesn't seem like in the Greek that Paul is referring to like, hey, I've been, you know, whipped with 39 lashes 5 times. I've been beaten with rods 3 times. I've been stoned and left for dead. Like, he's not referring to these things that have happened to him as he has stood with those who feel lost and left out, okay, to help them grab on the good news. He's done the opposite, basically, of the Judaizers. They took the easy route and conformity, you know what I mean, and did a little mix match of law and gospel to make appeasement. Paul hasn't, and he's been beaten for it many times. But this is more of a mark of like who he belongs to. It's like him going back to chapter 2. I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live. It is Christ who lives in me. Colossians 3, in him whom I find my very existence in. This is who I belong to. And I have made known who you belong to. I'm ready to get on to the life that's found in him. Don't bother with me this anymore. I love it because it's like, it gives me this like, I'm just going to go ahead and say this. It really, I feel like it gets at like the heart of why we started LARC. Like, both of us were at this place of just, I want to just go be a friend who is free to help people find freedom in who Jesus is with no strings attached.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I see Jesus doing. It would only make sense that in the name of following him, this is what we would be doing. And I'm stepping away from this whole church made up system machine out here so that I can just get back to what we actually see Jesus and Paul in the New Testament church, right? A movement of people doing. So we've written Reclaim. We've got a small little ebook, right? Dare to Live Free. We've got some key teaching series on the podcast, like through the parables and the Yeah But pushbacks, the Book of John, now Galatians, like some handy pieces that you need to really grab onto this so that you're free to just go spend your life as a friend who helps others live free. I don't want to live in the rat race of the church machine. I don't want to get caught up in the endless, right, circle talk, man, of who's saying what and who's doing what and what about this and this conference over here. Who freaking cares?
Who freaking cares?
Because I tell you right now, the vast majority of the world outside that has no interest isn't, they don't care. Your neighbor doesn't care. So
Nope.
here's some good news. Here's some tools to grab onto. It's like, what I mean? Like, whether it's Paul here or us, like mimicking him with Lark, so that we can just say, yeah, dude, we've written about that. We've got some great resources right here. Check them out. And when you're ready for conversation to go be a friend, helps people live free, call us. We're in.
There it is.
That's what we're doing.
There it is. And it
I
can be
just want to
scary.
get back. That's what he's saying.
It can be scary, man.
Yeah.
Leaving all that.
For
And
sure.
I think that that's why Paul gets to, the nitty-gritty of it, of justification. Forgiveness, enoughness in
Yeah.
Christ, because you're going to leave this thing that says conformity and participation in it equals those things.
Yes.
And Paul forever is going to be the poster child, of someone saying, dude,
No,
you're
don't.
good. You're fine. You're
Right.
fine. You are absolutely fine.
Yeah, man, but I'm gonna be left out. I'm gonna lose, connection. I'm gonna, you kind of run down that list and it's like, well, you can never be
You
left out.
will. You will.
In regards to like who you belong to, you will always belong. Will you find yourself on the outs from that tribe over there? Sure.
Yeah.
But if you grabbing onto what Jesus says and stepping into it by faith would result in you losing connection, why the hell do you want that connection to begin with? Like, are these really the people you want to cling to? That's what I had to go through, man. And just seeing that and going, wait a minute, I'm like, am I really spending myself trying to maintain a connection with people who will cut you off if you step outside of what they have found to be the marks of conformity? Yeah, no thanks. I'll take my chances as the God that Jesus describes in that parable, the unjust judge. Yep, I'm gonna have to go slumming for friends among sinners, which
Oh
is me,
man.
right? That's who I
Yep.
am, and I'm gonna go find some new friendships, man, as I pass on this good news, because I'm just gonna go ahead and tell you and everybody listening. When you go spread the scandalous grace of a God who's already met us where we are, you're gonna find friends who lean in and go, what? Seriously? Yeah. That's how the church Jesus started, was designed to spread.
It's real encouraging. It's really, really encouraging. Because
Yeah.
it's like that temple mentality. Like God only exists here
Yeah.
in these buildings and in these structures and in these programs built by human hands. But he's the God of all, in all, through all, for all.
Ephesians 4, it's right there. Yep. This is who he is, where he's at, what he's doing. So let's grab on to this. Grab on to the reality that is brought about through the language that Paul has helped us move from our delusional understanding of God and church and faith and grace and mercy and right and ministry, and just say amen. Bother me no more. I am free to go be about this business now.
I'm done.
And as a friend in the world.
We're killing right? the Larkcast today. No more Larkcast, guys. This is the last episode. That's almost kind of like what, you know, it's like, this is, I'm done. And of course he's not done. You know, he wrote more letters after this. I think he's done. What he's saying is like, I'm done with you guys in this, you know.
Yes.
I'm not done
you
with
you.
You
have what you now need.
I'm not done with you.
You have what you now need.
Because, you know, Galatians was one of the first letters that Paul ever wrote.
Oh, it's so good, man. Yeah, we're going to keep encouraging people and being encouraged by
this
people.
This podcast is still happening, okay? Just so you know.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, I don't think that's what he's getting at. It's, but I think the whole premise of it, and the reason why we try to not do some like crazy amount of content, you know, coming at busy people in the world and try to just keep things simple, is like, we've always wanted to focus on a few key resources like Galatians that would give you those foundational blocks for learning and understanding the life of faith. And then just provide something like this as an ongoing encouragement. And I know sometimes we get hit up a lot, like, man, well, what about doing like, you know, weekly groups? And what about this? What if you guys also did like a Sunday online service? I'm like, well, yeah, we could, but
as long as there's
logos. Cut into people. Yeah. Would that cut into people being free to go like live into this?
As long as
like,
there's
if you want to go
names,
do that, great.
As long as there's branding, I'm in. You know, especially if you hire me to do it.
Yeah. I mean, if you don't, you know, brand it, it can't possibly exist, can it?
Needs a logo.
Yeah. No, we've definitely found, man, there's something beautiful about an unnamed movement. Unnamed conversations where grace is unconditional and faith is unhurried. That's where it happens. We're here to support and empower you in that endeavor wherever you're at. Amen.
What Cheers a good to book, that, man. Dude. To the end of Galatians. Yeah.
Cheers, my friend.
And to the end of the Larkcast. It's been great.
It's good. I did that on purpose. Every time you say that, I'm just going to come back with, he's just kidding.
Just kidding. Bye, y'all.
Peace.